Thank you. This is always a tricky Sunday. Today, as you've heard, is the kickoff of our pledge campaign. So this is what has become known among some congregations as the Sermon on the Mount. It is a sermon that is, frankly, about money. It is a sermon meant to inspire you to give money, and not only to give money, but to promise, to pledge what money you will give to help us meet next year's operations expenses, what it costs to do what we do, and what we wish to do in the coming year. And it is a tricky thing to talk about, partly because we live in a society where money talks. This notion has become officially enshrined as law by a Supreme Court ruling that said money is speech and is thus protected by all the provisions for free speech in the First Amendment. And ever since, money is not only talking, but is frequently the loudest voice in the room, blathering on mostly about itself and mocking, dismissing, or actively working against the compassionate concerns of real people. When you hear the phrase, money talks, it is rarely because one is enjoying what is being said. And it's true that money, as you heard Allison share in the call to worship, money can carry our fear. It can be used to demean, diminish, or destroy life. It can flood some of us such that we drown in a toxic sense of power over others. Money can be a focus of that devastating addiction known as greed, such that the person does not use money to support that which they value, but value money itself such that they lose sight of all that was most important to them. I think of Jesus' parable of the rich man who gains the whole world, but loses his soul. And I am reminded of another favorite scripture of mine, an old Twilight Zone episode, with Cliff Robertson as a ventriloquist. Anybody seen that? Whose dummy comes to life and starts ordering him around. By the end of the episode, spoiler alert, Cliff Robertson is sitting on his dummy's knee, dutifully mouthing the words that his dummy speaks. The famously wealthy John D. Rockefeller was once asked, "How much money is enough?" His reply, "Just a little bit more." The potentially addictive, destructive power of greed is why most every religious and ethical tradition warns against it, teaching in a variety of ways what is expressed in the first letter to Timothy in the Christian scriptures, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." And we know that even leaders from those religious and ethical traditions that warn against greed fall victim to it. We need only think of the televangelists promising prayers and blessings and prosperity and even salvation with your generous donation. I am not promising that to you today. Wouldn't do me any good. We're all universalists. We're already saved, universal salvation, no child of God left behind. I sometimes picture the universalist evangelist on a street corner not asking, "Are you saved?" but saying, "You are saved. Now what? Now what?" There is a love that holds us all. There is a love holding all that we love. Now what? We here have answered that with the mission of this congregation. What now? Now we deepen connections by nurturing spiritual growth, practicing justice, and inspiring joy. And here's what I know. Money is essential to fulfilling the mission of this congregation. It is not the only essential thing, far from it, but it is essential. And to the extent that we dance around that fact, I think we do ourselves a disservice, because we still have to talk about money. We just don't do it very well. I end up not doing it very well, sliding into the topic sideways, a little unsure of what to say, a little frightened of saying the wrong thing. And I do understand that the people who can give only a little and yet give what they can, they sometimes feel a certain displacement around this time of year as we focus on large budgets and big numbers and supporting the congregation with our financial resources. And the people who give the most can sometimes feel underappreciated, as if we are somehow embarrassed to recognize the generosity that motivates their substantial and vital contributions. And all the people in between who pledge generously, consistently, can feel forgotten, as if their pledge is more expected than invited. Let me be clear. We do not value you based on how much money you can give. We do not use money to place a value on you. We invite you to use the money you can give to support that which you value. Because while it's true that money can carry our fear, it can also carry our love. While it's true that money can be used to demean, diminish, or destroy life, it can also be used to affirm life. And you have proven that over and over again. While it's true that money can flood some people such that they drown in a toxic sense of power over others, it can also nourish and water the principles of freedom, community, and sharing. While it's true in a symbolic but very real sense that money talks, it is also true that we have the power to tell it what to say. Every pledge we receive is important, because money is essential for this congregation to pursue the mission. And every pledge is important because of the commitment it expresses to that mission. That is why we invite every member to pledge in whatever amount they can. And I mean that. There is no minimum. Each pledge, as the word implies, is a statement of commitment in the context of each person's life. And we all, I understand, feel many demands on whatever financial resources we have, coming from every direction. I get that. Why give here? And how much? What do you need from us? People will ask me, which is a very generous thing to ask. And I sit with that and I think about how I can respond to that question. What do we need from you? And after a while, the pronouns begin to confuse me. What do you, the congregation, need from us, the congregation? What do we, the congregation, need from you, the congregation? So let me offer this question to consider as you fill out that pledge card. What do you need from you? Some of that has already been decided. This congregation approved a budget for this year that was a stretch, knowing that a new staff position would need to be incorporated into the operating budget going forward, would need to be sustained by our pledges. And listen, I saw all those sticky notes attached to the first year of that five-year plan on the wall in the social hall. The first year is this coming year, starting in July. It was wonderful to see. And many of those things, in addition to volunteer participation and planning, many of those things will require money. We're stretching. We're dreaming. This stream is going to cross that desert. So what do you need from you? What do we need from us? We say it every Sunday. We are this church. We are its hands, its heart, its voice. You were saying that before I came, and you will likely be saying it long after I am gone. Together we share in the wealth of this congregation and sustain it with our gifts. A congregation is a somewhat unique organization in which you are both donors and recipients of those donations. What do we need from us? It was refreshing to read in the Article 2 proposal, which seeks to describe who we are as Unitarian Universalists and the purpose of our association. It was refreshing to read this. We covenant to use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain fully accessible and inclusive communities. They didn't say financial gifts or financial resources, which are often and curiously used to hide the fact that money is an essential component of carrying out a mission. They reclaimed the word money because, as Lynn Twist writes in the reading that Allison shared, money itself is not the problem. Money itself isn't bad or good. Money itself doesn't have power or not have power. We can choose to see money as a carrier of our intentions, money as energy, and money as a currency for love, commitment, and service, money as an opportunity to nourish those things we care most about. When you let your money move to things you care about, your life lights up. That's really what money is for, she writes. Money talks, but it doesn't have to use the vulgar speech of greed and avarice. Money can speak in the rich tones of our liberal religious tradition. It can speak in the strong phrases of our coming together. It can speak with the courageous conviction of our best hopes for the future. It can speak with our voices. It can speak from our hearts. Borrowing words from Andy Pease, it can strengthen our ability to take risks and be transformed, to use the safety net of this literal and figurative sanctuary to heal our pain and find a power deep within us. For when the fire of commitment sets our mind and soul ablaze, when our hunger and our passion meet to call us on our way, when we live with deep assurance of the flame that burns within, then our promise finds fulfillment and our future can begin. I invite